following program is listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're continuing our series on prayer, but today I want to tell you about something very specific and maybe something you've run into from time to time. And I hope it's a help and blessing to you today. I'd like to remind you about our website at considerhisword.org. There are many resources you'll find there and more information about our ministry. But there's a link that says contact us, and we would love to hear from you. If you'd send us a note, tell us where you're hearing the broadcast today, and give us an address, we'll send you one of our little prayer journals. We send out many of these, and we'd love to get one into your hand, too. Now, this is just a little notebook, easily fits into a shirt pocket or purse or Bible case or something like that. It's not that big, but a place where you can jot down prayer requests, and even today's message would be good for this. Jot down prayer requests, and then you're able to go back and either follow up on them or maybe ask about them or mark down where God had answered that prayer. And so all you need to do is write to us. There's no obligation. There's no charge. You just simply write, and we'll send you one of the prayer journals. So let me give you a couple of ways to do it. Through the website, certainly, considerhisword.org. You can email me directly at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. Or you can just simply write to us at Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, in Clewiston, Florida, 33440. I give that to you one more time. Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, in Clewiston, Florida, 33440. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, and I'd encourage you to turn there if you can and join us as we read the Scripture today. I'm going to begin reading it at verse 7. But before I do, let me ask you this question. Has anyone ever come up to you and just said, "Pray for me"? That's all they said. They didn't say pray about a particular person. They didn't say pray about healing or pray about some kind of strength or anything specific. They just simply came and said, "Pray for me." Well, how do you pray for them? How do you go to the Lord and what do you pray? Maybe you have some idea and maybe you know. But Colossians, Paul here in Colossians, tells us some ways that we can pray for people who ask. Now, I don't know about you, but this happens to me all the time. People will come to me and say, "Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me." Even people that sometimes I just casually meet on the street and maybe wave at them or greet them, and they'll say, "Remember me in prayer. Pastor, pray for me." I had a man one time years ago. Every time I saw him, he would say the same thing. "Pray for me. Pastor, pray for me." So one day I met him in a restaurant. We were going in and he was on his way out, had already eaten. And he said it again, and I kind of thought that he would. And he came and said, "Pastor, pray for me." And I said, "Okay, I'll tell you what, let's just pray right now. We'll step out here." I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Let's pray right now." And he said, no, not right now, not right now. Just whenever you pray, pray for me." Well, made me wonder how much he really wanted somebody to pray for him, as he didn't want it right then, that's for sure. But maybe you've run into that, and maybe somebody has said that to you, and maybe somebody says it to you all the time. But here, Paul again tells us how we can pray for those people. Now, certainly, the Bible tells us we ought to pray, Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And sometimes when people ask for prayer, they have not given you specifics and they don't know what the request is. You wonder exactly what they're asking you to do and how you should pray for them, not giving you any idea. Well, let's read the scripture and see what Paul says about it. So I'm in Colossians 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. Paul said, "As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son." Well, here I believe Paul gives us a number of ways that we can pray for someone. He had told the church at Colossae, "I'm praying for you." He says, back in verse 9, "I do not cease to pray for you and desire." And he goes on and tells what his desire was for them, but how he was praying for them. And I think this kind of gives us an idea that when somebody comes and simply says, "Pray for me," here's a way you can pray for them. And if you get their prayer journal, I'd suggest you make notes of this, or maybe even right now without the prayer journal, you can make notes of these things. So I want you to notice several things as he prayed for them. Now, remember, I do want to mention one other thing. When we pray for other people, that is what is known as intercessory prayer. I have been to intercessory prayer meetings where I think they had no idea what the term meant. They simply prayed about themselves, and they may have prayed for others, but I don't think they understood what it is. When we talk about intercessory prayer, it means we're interceding for someone else. And when somebody comes and says, "Pray for me," that means that they're asking us to go and intercede for them. So how do we pray for them when they have not given us any specifics? First of all, I want you to notice Paul said that he prays for them that they, and to, let me read it. "Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Well, here's the first thing, is that they would know God's will. Now, we know that there are some things that are God's will without praying for them. I believe it's God's will that people be saved, that people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 6, "And this is the will of him that sent me." It's God's will. "That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I believe it's God's will that we come to know Christ as our Savior. God wants you to be saved. I believe it's God's will that we be in a local church. I was talking to someone a day or two ago. They were texting me, and I was asking them about where they had been and why they had not been to church, and, you know, just trying to follow up on them. And they answered me and said, "Well, I go to church online or I watch it on TV." And I told them then, I said, that's not going to church. That's not what God intended in his word when he said that we are to go to the house, not forsaking, he said, the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You need to be in a local church. Hearing it on TV or watching it on TV or in the internet, that's just watching church. That's not being at the assembly. And I believe it's God's will that you find a church and that you get involved in that church, that you give to that church. I believe it's God's will that you obey his word. You got to be in the word of God. But here's the thing. He said, pray that they would know the will of God in all wisdom. Now, you know, many times when people are asking for prayer, they're just kind of wandering around in life, trying to figure things out. But he said here that they would find God's will in all wisdom. You know, knowing is having the information, but wisdom is knowing the why and how to do it. Remember, Proverbs said, this is Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And notice he mentioned that. He said that they would find God's will, the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You realize that many things can only be understood from a spiritual worldview, a viewpoint that glorifies God and not self. So his first thing was, when somebody comes and says, pray for me, pray that they would find God's will and do God's will in knowledge, he said, knowing it, and in spiritual understanding, understanding what they ought to be doing. The next thing he said was that they would walk worthy of the Lord. I believe what he's talking here is about here is that they would live a life that is pleasing to God, a way that honors the Lord. You know, sadly, most of the world, and I would venture to say that many, many, many people that you know live mostly to please themselves. God doesn't even come into the picture. And they either live to please themselves and to do what I want to do. I mean, we've been taught that for so many years. Do what you want to do. Follow your heart. That's some of the worst advice you can give anybody. Paul here says, pray that they would find God's will and that they would walk worthy or walk pleasing to the Lord. Many live not just to please themselves, but maybe to please the people around them. You know, we used to call that peer pressure, or maybe to please family. But you know, God should have first place. He should be the first place, and the first one that helps you make a decision. Does this honor the Lord? And when people ask us to pray, we pray they'd find God's will, but they'd walk worthy in a way that pleases God. He went on and said, in being fruitful in every good work, that God would bless them. By living right, by doing every good work. Did you catch that? Would be the fruit or the result, I believe, of doing the right things. Many of us get into trouble because we're not doing what we know is the right thing to do. Are you doing right? Are you living right? It's doing what you know is right to do. And in following God's will and God's wisdom, God's understanding, that you live according to what God says. Remember, James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We got to live to please the Lord, not ourselves, not our friends, not our family. Put God first. Be fruitful. You'll see God bless you when you do what is right. You'll see God help you, strengthen you, by the way, he talks about that later, to do what is right, living and serving him. Our time's gone for today. We'll finish next week. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
Experience of them all, it'll make us strong. And if we learn to take the good with the bad, keep praying, he'll give us strength to carry on.